It's a joy to see each and every one of you. I know you think I sound bad, but I don't feel bad, so it's just a little bit in my throat. And so if you'll bear with me, we'll have a good time, and we'll worship the Lord together. Thank you so much. I want to preach to you a little while about Christmas, of course. It's 1 week from today, Christmas morning, the time we celebrate when Jesus came. And sometimes as a pastor, it gets hard to figure out what to preach. There's such beauty in all of the passages, but there's not a whole lot there as far as the quantity of it. And so I want to preach for a little while, maybe about something that you hadn't thought of that trust will be a blessing. And I want to preach about Mary's lesson that she gave to her cousin Elizabeth. You remember Elizabeth and Zacharias, they were the parents of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, and he was going to share the news that Jesus would be coming. And I'd like to preach to you for a little while about Mary's lesson to Elizabeth. So if you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, Luke 2 is the famous passage about the coming of Christ, Luke chapter 1. While you're finding your place there in Luke chapter 1, I did hear the story, of a couple, and I usually like to start with something a little bit funny. This elderly couple was sitting there, sipping some hot chocolate. It was about Christmas time. Been married for years, and they were sitting there on this little love seat. And she said, "Honey, I remember when we first got married, and we'd be at a setting like this. You just hold my hand. It was so sweet." And so he just reached over there and held her hand, and she just kind of got goosebumps all over. And said, "I remember when you used to kiss my cheek. We'd just sit there. We didn't have to say anything. You'd slide over and kiss my cheek." And so he honeyed over, took a little more aches and pains, but honeyed over and kissed her on the cheek. And she said, "Oh, I even remember when we were married and we'd be sitting there holding my hand. You'd kiss my cheek. And I remember you used to even nibble on my ear a little bit." And boy, as soon as he heard that, it's like he offended her. She offended him. He just got up and went over there and started to leave the little den there and reach for the door. And she said, "I'm sorry, did I say something wrong?" And he didn't turn around. And she said, "Honey, it's all right. Did I say something wrong?" Finally, he turned around and she said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to get my teeth." So, God bless all of you. Lord bless us, everyone. Now you're thinking, "Wait a minute, I don't know if I want that spooch on the cheek if it was no teeth was in that mouth." So, verse number 46 of Luke 1, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So if you read all of Luke 1, you'd get the story. You remember, though, I'll just bring you up to speed very quickly. Zacharias was ministering in the temple. Angel announced to him that his wife Elizabeth, who was well past bearing age, was going to have a little one. Zacharias doubts, and so Gabriel says that he would not speak until the baby comes. If you read all of chapter 1, you'd see this. Gabriel then goes to Mary to announce to her that she'll be with child and the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And after that news has happened, and then Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and you remember the story when Elizabeth is there and greeting her cousin Mary and gives the announcement about the Christ child, then John the Baptist leaps in the womb of Elizabeth and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. She tells Elizabeth that, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." But I want to preach this morning just a little bit about those words that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was telling Elizabeth before either one of them had the baby. And you will see some wonderful doctrinal truths of what was pronounced using this lady. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these next moments, I pray, to get us a better view of this wonderful Christmas story. I pray, dear Lord, that you would use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, from where Mary was to where Elizabeth was, it was 100 miles. Would have taken at least 10 days good travel to get there. But the road was known for bandits and was not very well passable as far as safely for a lady by herself. So most likely, historians say that Joseph had arranged that Mary would go to where Elizabeth was, maybe with a caravan that was traveling on that road, and that way there would be safety, because there would be safety in numbers. And many folks think that Joseph went with her only to return later to get back to where he needed to get back to work. But finally they get there after maybe 10 days, maybe 12 days of this travel, and she arrives at Elizabeth's house. And when the two ladies get together, they have a whole lot to talk about. I want you to see this morning what she tells Elizabeth. Maybe after these 10 days, her head has a little bit of time to wrap around the news that she's the child of the Holy Ghost. Maybe she's got a little bit of time to think how she can boil it all down and try to convey it to somebody. Because remember, at this time, Mary is the only one who knows for certain that what is conceived is of the Holy Ghost. Everybody else would have had a certain amount of doubt that possibly she had been inappropriate, but only Mary knew that nothing had happened, that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and that she was had conceived of the Holy Spirit. But as we look at these verses from 46 down to 56, I want you to see what Mary told Elizabeth. First of all, if you're taking notes, I want you to see that she knew it was a work of God. Verse number 48 says, "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. From henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Verse number 49, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." The Virgin Mary was quick to give glory to the Lord. She said, "Be it unto me the handmaiden of the Lord." And then in verse number 48, she says, "He has chosen somebody of low estate to do this wonderful thing on." Now, if it were today, in our self-improvement mindset that most of us have, at least on social media and the like, we would have said, "God used me because I was usable. God used me because I put myself in a good spot. Maybe God used me because I was worthy," but not this girl. She was very quick to give glory to God and say, "There's really no reason why God would choose me for this great honor. There's really no reason why God would come and use me, but he did." And so there's nothing in this story that even hints at self-promotion. It's all the glory of the Lord. Could I just give a little time out in the Christmas story and remind you that if anything happens in your life, that you be sure and quick to give glory to God for whatever happens. God does not take well to us when we rob him of the glory that's due his name. And so Mary told Elizabeth, "I know one thing, it's a work of God." And so at this Christmas season, I can tell all of us this morning, I know one thing, it's a work of God. But not only do we see that, what we also see in verse 50 and 51, that she knew that this would show God's mercy. Look back in the passage if you would. Verse 50, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arms. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart." His mercy is on them that fear him. Mary said, from here on, this story is going to be told, and it's going to show that God was merciful. Do you know what the story of Christmas is? It's a story of mercy. Mercy, and God's mercy. He planned the Christmas story, the story of Jesus Christ entering this world to provide salvation for us. And Mary followed that plan. In World War II, during the Blitz, that was the United Kingdom when they were being bombed in a large, many killed campaign. a man told the story of how he was running from one of the buildings, and he had a small child, small son with his hand, and he was running from this building, and he was just seeing the lights of the bombs, and they would explode and would illuminate the sky, and then he could see the fires on the buildings that had been bombed already. And he wanted to get somewhere where there was safety, and so he had seen a crater that was created by one of the bombs, and so he jumped down in there thinking that there was no other place to get safety. But that left his little boy up on the rim of the crater. And he hollered up to him, and he could see him, but the boy couldn't see. He said, "Jump, and we'll stay down here until this part of the bombing is over." And the little boy said, "I can't see you, Dad," and hollered down there. And the dad could see the silhouette of the boy based upon the burning buildings behind him. And he said, "But I can see you." And he said, "Trust me, jump." And the boy did jump. And the dad, of course, as all dads would, caught him. And they hunkered down in there until the bombing had subsided. He just wanted his son to trust him. And you know what God was looking for in that virgin, that young lady that was pure and innocent and moral? Wanted somebody to trust him. And Mary said, "Let it be as you've spoken unto the handmaiden of the Lord." And she knew that his mercy was on all of them in verse 50, on them that fear him from generation to generation. Mary trusted God, and God used that trust to show the mercy of all that he wanted to do in this world. Christmas is all about this: the undeserving receiving the unbelievable. It's unbelievable that God would care about you and I so much. You say, "Well, he loves us. He created us." Yes, but look what we've done to him. Look how we've treated his most precious son. Look at what we do to his book in our society right now today. Look at what we do to everything that he calls precious. We trample it under feet, and we say that we've got a better way than that. As the Bible says in the book of Romans, we worship the creation more than the Creator. We have trodden underfoot all that's holy and all that's good. And in all of that, God still loves us so much that the fact that he sent his son still gives salvation plea to everyone that's available, or everybody that would take him up on that wonderful offer. She knew, Mary, as she was telling Elizabeth, and you know how ladies talk, no offense, ladies, but they were back and forth, and boy, oh boy, did they have much to talk about. One was standing there, or sitting there, and was carrying a child, was born or conceived of the Holy Ghost, had never known a man, and the other was past bearing age and had not been able to have a child, and was just miraculously as well going to give birth to a little one. And these two were going at it. And one of the things that Mary said to Elizabeth that day was that his mercy is going to be on all of them that fear him. But I want to give you this last lesson as we look at it today. In verse number 52, 3 and 4, she also told her that Lizzie, whatever she called her, this is going to level the playing field. I'm sure she didn't use that verbiage, but I'm using it. Elizabeth, this is going to level this playing field. Look at what it says in verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of a low degree. Let's just look at that verse for just a moment. You see, because Mary wasn't somebody of high esteem. Mary wasn't somebody in town. She wasn't the uppity up. She wasn't the family that would be in the who's who section of a local newspaper of days gone by. She's not the one that would have had millions of followers on Instagram if you look at it today. She wasn't the one that was a social media guru like some of them are today. She wasn't the movie star that you see sometimes through the tabloids and through the paparazzi chases after. She wasn't somebody who was known in society's high elite. Instead, she was just a poor, humble servant. And what Mary says to Elizabeth is, that he hath put down the mighty from their seats. And so she said to Elizabeth, Elizabeth, it looks like he's leveled the playing field. Those that should be getting esteem are not going to. She said, I don't understand why, but he has put me in the place where I'll be the one that gets to be told about in all of the stories. And he says in verse number 52 that he has put down the mighty, and instead he has exalted those of a low degree. The Christmas story is about taking the people that society passed over and using them to bring about the Creator's entrance into this old world. That's 52. Look at verse 53. He hath filled the hungry with good things. Now, everybody knows what it's like to be a young person that's hungry. I don't mean physically hungry, although that too, I guess. But hungry to get a little taste of some notoriety. And you look at people that have some fame with a little bit of envy, thinking, boy, I wouldn't mind a little bit of that. You're hungry for some of that. The scripture says in verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things. And look at what else he's done. And the rich he hath sent empty away. Mary said to Elizabeth, Elizabeth, what this is going to do, it's going to even the score a little bit. He has taken those that want and desire and are hungry, and he has filled them. And the other side that gets everything that they want and that are full all the time, he's sent them away from the table empty. You say, are you talking about God wants people not to get their food? I don't think at all that's what it means. I believe what she was saying to her cousin Elizabeth as they're chatting that day was, Elizabeth, he's taken some that are high and think a lot of themselves, and taken some that are low and don't think anything of themselves, and he's evened them out. Just like the Christmas story goes to the richest person in Washington County, or the person that has the very least in Washington County, the same gospel, same Christmas story goes to every one of them. If you came in today and your bank account would impress the most elite, then you are welcome here. But if you came in today and you don't even have enough to put in a Maxwell House can in the backyard, let alone go to one of the big banks, you are also welcome here. Because as Mary said to her cousin Elizabeth, he hath filled the hungry, and he sent the poor, he has sent the rich away empty. He wasn't sending them away to say they couldn't have salvation. He was saying that richness, that plenty, all of that you've been so proud of doesn't matter. The only thing that mattered would be the birth of the Son that Mary was going to bring into this world. I'm so glad to announce it today that both at Bethlehem and Calvary, the ground is level. If you came in and you're the most wealthy person in this room, praise God for you. If you've come in and you need some of us in this room to help you get a meal for after the service, praise God for you. The gospel is given to all, and it pulls the ones that think they're something down and the ones that think they're nothing up to say, praise the Lord, the only hope is Jesus Christ. She knew this would level the playing field. I read of a story of a professor that went to a large mission school in Texas. He was a visiting professor, and he was going to have this one class of ministerial students. And as he stood before this class of ministerial students, he asked them, what is the gospel? The first person popped up and said, or just spoke up and said, it's the free gift of God. And so he turned and wrote it on the dry erase board. He said, good. What else? He said, it's freedom from sin. And he turned and wrote that on the board. Eternal life. He said, keep going. Tell me, what is it? It's freedom. It's righteousness. And he would turn and write each time they would say something. Keep going. It's moral purity. It's grace. It's unconditional love. He kept on going. He said, anything else? It's healing. Okay. It's redemption. It's faith in God. It's new life. By about 5 minutes, the board was full of all the words that the class had given him. Excellent. Did we miss anything? And you know how students do? They looked at one another as if they missed the main answer. And a minute went by and nobody brave enough to say anything. He waited, said, did we miss anything? About another minute went by. And a little girl on the front row, or young lady on the front row, spoke up and said, how come none of us mentioned Jesus? And he closed whatever books that he'd had and he said, excellent. That's exactly what the gospel is. And so whatever Mary told Elizabeth, whatever's been told throughout the ages, the beautiful message of the gospel and the beautiful message of Christmas is Jesus. You say, aren't there a lot of things in that book? There sure are. But they all revolve around Jesus. There's so much that Mary brought into this world because by her being used of God to bring the Christ child into this world, many hospitals have been started. Many universities have been instituted. Many helps organizations are functioning today because of the love of Jesus Christ. But all of those are spin-offs, if you will, of what really matters. What really matters is Jesus. Jesus gave so many things, but the gift that he gave that matters was himself. And so this morning, if you have Christmas cheer, I'm so thankful for you that. Today, if you've got plans to gather together with family and share love and share gifts, wonderful. If you are always, as your habit is, you're always in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, I agree, I am as well. If you live a moral life because of the teachings of that book that's laying on the pulpit, I'm trying to do just the same. But if you do all of those, and you in your heart of hearts don't have your faith in Jesus Christ alone, then my friend, all of your good deeds won't enter you into heaven one of these days. Somehow, even though we've heard it again and again, we still get it incorrect, and we think that if I do enough Christian stuff, if I go to this altar enough, if I give enough money in the plates back there, if I'm faithful to the place where they teach about Jesus Christ, somehow all those things together would surely benefit me, right? Oh, I think it's a benefit to come. You get to rub shoulders with some good people. And those good activities certainly help you. But they won't get you one inch closer to heaven. Because just like those students found when that professor said, what is the gospel? Yes, the gospel does do much for all of us. But until you trust Christ as your Savior, you're not on your way to heaven. So the message of Christmas is Jesus. And I trust that you're not just a moral person, not just a religious person, but today you're a person that's got your faith in the gospel, and that is all wrapped up your faith in Jesus Christ. So Mary told Elizabeth that day, this is a work of God, Elizabeth. Because she knew it certainly was not of her. This, Elizabeth, will show the world God's mercy. And this, Elizabeth, my cousin and friend, will level this playing field so that everyone, not the elite, not the arrived, everyone can know what it's like to come to the grace of God. The birth of Jesus Christ teaches us that Jesus is the Savior of any and all that would call on His name. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank You for this time to be in Your house. Lord, I pray if there's one in this room right now or listening that knows all the Christmas story. We know the wise men came sometime afterwards. We know that Mary and Joseph made that trek. And now we've even learned that before that birth, Mary made a pretty good trek to get to Elizabeth, and they shared some fellowship together. But Lord, if there's somebody that's not sure they're saved, they haven't put their faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, would You let this be the day that they cry out to Jesus and ask Him to be their Savior? Lord, please, I pray, before it's eternally too late for someone, would You save that soul that needs it? And then, dear Lord, as those Christians in this room, scores and scores, I pray that they would remember they didn't get here because of their own good works. They didn't get here. You'll take them back to that truth of the gospel that they accepted years ago. And remember that we're nothing except what Jesus has done in us. Thank You, Father, for Your precious goodness to be here today. If you're able to, would you stand together with me? As the ladies play something through, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Perhaps you're here today and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. You know an awful lot about Christmas, but you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. We don't get to heaven because we can recite the Christmas story. Salvation is found in the central figure of that Christmas story, Jesus Christ. If you've not received Him as your Savior, would you step out and come? We'd love to take just a moment and take the Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Anyone at all, perhaps you're listening on the radio right now or maybe on live stream, and where you're sitting, you'd say, Pastor Herdman, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I know a lot about the church. I know a lot about Jesus. I'm trying to live a good life. My friend, that's wonderful, but that's not enough. The Christmas story is about Jesus Christ entering into this world to provide salvation for you and me. If you know that you're a sinner, you know that you've messed up as all of us have. You know that you're not good enough to go to heaven on your own. But you know, you do believe that Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross for you. He was born in Bethlehem just to die at Calvary. If you believe that, know that, I challenge you, my friend, to there where you sit or here in this auditorium, that you word a prayer to God, you word a prayer to Jesus Christ, God's only Son, and ask Him to be your personal Savior in forgiveness of your sins. You put your faith in Him. As they continue to play, if God spoke to your heart, would you come? You're here and not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Please get it settled before it's eternally too late, my friend. Thank you. You may look this way and be seated. We're wonderfully blessed. Brother Daniel's preparing right now to help assist somebody to follow Christ in believer's baptism. And it's also my privilege to get to introduce to you, some of you have already known him, but little Ethan Harvey Williams. And we're so thankful that God has given this time for Levi and Amber. Both of them have saved and wonderful members of the church here. But little Ethan was born just how long ago? About a month. And so how many of you know this has been a wonderful, exciting month for Levi and Amber? But they believe that the Lord has brought this little one into their life. And they want to take Ethan and dedicate him to the Lord. Now, baby dedication is not salvation. There's no salvation merit in that. It is simply what it says. It's, Lord, you gave us this little one. We want to dedicate him to be raised for your glory. We look forward to one of these days, maybe in our classes or maybe after he goes home from a class, that he'll pull on dad and mom's coat and say, I want to ask Jesus to be my Savior. We pray for all those things. But many of you get the chance and the wonderful privilege to be in the nursery, be in the classes, children's church, Wednesday night patch program, and you'll see him come up through. Maybe you're a deacon here. Maybe you're in leadership in some form or fashion. Then we all get the wonderful privilege to help out. Maybe you don't teach a class, but you're going to see him running around. Well, when he runs around and almost knocks you over, don't go and tell Levi and Amber that your kid was running wild. Thank the Lord that we have a church that has little ones running around. And we have to tell them, don't knock little old ladies down. We understand that. But he won't. He's a good boy. He will not do that. But we just thank the Lord that we have a church that has young people that want to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing. So would you all stand with me there? Amber, I'm going to have you hold him just because babies seem to do better that way. But I'm going to pray, and you pray with me, church. Lord, we're so thankful for little Ethan Harvey Williams. Lord, Levi and Amber desire to raise him in a Christian home. And Lord, it's a wonderful joy to see the gift that you've placed right in her arms. Lord, we just taught about and preached about the Christ child, Lord, and the miraculous birth. But Lord, we're reminded that this miracle has happened, not in that fashion, but Lord, you've blessed this home. And I pray your richest goodness upon them. Lord, we do ask you that one of these days, when he understands his need for Jesus as his Savior, that he bow his little head and ask him to be his Savior. I pray that you'll help me as their pastor. I pray that you'll help the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the children's church workers, the Patch the Pirate leaders, all of the other folks, the greeters, the ushers, the welcomers, everybody. The Lord, we just see him grow and do all that we can to encourage him to be all that he can be for your glory. Bless their home, provide their needs, and bless them as they raise him. We dedicate him to you for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Amen. I give you that little Bible with his name in it and a certificate. God bless you. Let's give him a hand, would you?
Word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Today we rejoice with Christine. She's accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior and has been going through discipleship with Leslie Farmer. And she called me a couple weeks ago, and she said that she was ready to get baptized and believed she needed to do that. And so we're so excited that she's here. And Christine, we're so glad to have you here at the church and excited about what God's doing in your life. So based on your profession of faith, plug your hands. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him in death, raised to walk in newness of life. We're so glad for what God is doing through our church family laboring together. If you say, Brother Dan, you mentioned discipleship that she's going through. If you'd, if you're at a point in your life, you'd say, you know, I'd really like to know a little bit more about God's Word and make some steps and decisions like that personally. You see me anytime after a service. I'd be glad to get you plugged in with someone. They can take you and teach you God's Word more. And we want to be a church that's helping people to just continue to grow in their faith. Pastor?
Emphasize or reiterate what Daniel said, and that is that it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Discipleship is not for those that just got saved last month. Maybe you just wish you had a deeper knowledge of the Word of God. The program that we use simply takes you through the Word of God. We've got a guidebook that we go through that takes you reference to reference to reference. But it's a wonderful program. We do it on Wednesday nights while we already have services. We already have child care in the nursery and in the classes and all that. So we just do it during the service, though. And if you're interested in that, please see Brother Daniel or see myself. Call the church office. And I promise you this, that you will not regret digging into the Word of God and know more about your faith. You say, I'm saved, I know it. Praise the Lord. But it just lets you know more about your faith. And that's what the Lord commended the Berean church for. They searched those scriptures daily, and a great commendation for them. So I challenge you and encourage you to do that if you would. Well, what a joy to be in church this morning and to see this little one just be dedicated to Him, to see somebody follow Christ in the believer's baptism, the choir to be back here behind me and singing so beautifully, and us joining together in congregational songs. It's a wonderful, wonderful time to be in God's house. Would you stand together with me? We want to tell you, each and every one of you, Merry Christmas. We're looking forward. If you're not able to come to the Christmas program tonight, I understand. Maybe you got to go to work or something. I get it. I understand. Or you're just not able to drive because of the evening and all. But you are going to miss a wonderful, wonderful time if you don't come. And so if you are able to, come back at 6:30. You don't have to stay for the Christmas at the Pavilion. That's all right. We'd love to have you there too. We'll have hot dogs and s'mores and just a lot of fun out there. But we're going to have a great time in here watching these young people. And I challenge you to be here. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Lay thus in lowly manger in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weaknesses no strength.